Hey everyone, my name is Danilo Petrovic.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko, and you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Oh, hello, welcome back, tennis fans. I'm excited to talk about this podcast. Sorry we're a little bit late. JG fell asleep in the sauna at the gym. Came out. He'd lost about 30 pounds, apparently. But this one I'm excited to talk about. Novak Djokovic, he's been announced. He's in the Serbian ATP Cup team. And JG, I think that might mean that he's traveling to Australia. What do you make of it?
Well, before we talk about that, I didn't fall asleep in the sauna. I was just resting. And it was very hot and I enjoyed it. It was very nice to finally relax after a long day's work. And now podcast time. And Novak Djokovic, he's in Australia, as it seems. Not yet, but for the ATP Cup. He's announced he's going to be playing it, which would then indicate surely he's going to be playing the Australian Open, which would then indicate surely he's been vaccinated or has plans to be vaccinated. Or, is that a fair statement to learn?
Well, we'll get into that, JG, because there might be some other possibilities that people are unaware of. Luckily, Gene, he's shared a few things with me offline, and I'm able to share those with you here today. Djokovic, obviously, don't worry, guys. I know how old he is today, 34. He'll be 35 in May. So don't worry, I've got his age nailed down today. But let's have a look. This is the thing that Gene has nicely shared with us. Said, could Djokovic use an Australian Open loophole? Which is quite interesting here. He could... apparently, well, there's still obviously the option to get vaccinated as well. We don't know. We're going to find this out at the end. I believe it's either the end of this week. Probably or beginning of next week. So we'll find out the actual status of his Australian Open. Well, will he be there or not? So this one, it says Novak Djokovic could reportedly use a loophole to compete in Melbourne and next month's Australian Open. It said it's believed the men's number one could have grounds to apply for a medical exemption for travel. What do you make of that?
What's the exemption then? Why does he get an exemption?
I don't know. There must be something like he doesn't want to disclose, like maybe a very private medical condition that he may have. Who knows? So that's one ground. It says apparently Australian officials would need to approve it. It could mean he may avoid 14 days quarantine as well. So that's an interesting new revelation which is coming out here. They've got another point here saying Tennis Australia is supportive of the bid, which could give Djokovic the chance to win a record-breaking 21st Grand Slam title in Melbourne. So sort of bending over backwards a little bit here to try and help Djokovic come to the tournament, put bums on seats, maybe.
This isn't real, is it? This isn't real. We don't know this is fact. This is just
this is speculation, but it's from the news in Australia. So
that doesn't fill me with much confidence.
I don't know. Well, it says the Serbian, obviously, is locked in for the lead-up event in Sydney. And locked in sounds very, very official for ATP Cup. I'm hoping it sticks. And we get to see this announcement soon that Djokovic will be playing the Australian Open.
Well, he's there for the ATP Cup. He's not going to just stick around for the week, is he, and then go home. And like you were saying, Australia, it's more or less getting into the country, isn't it? That's where the mandate is, traveling in and out. It's not necessarily related to the Australian Open. So therefore, he must be vaccinated. I don't buy this story, what you're showing. I know it's the first time I've seen it. And you're trying to go down this edgy route. But I don't know. I don't think that's a good look, mate. If he's having some medical exemption for this and it's not disclosed and it's all private and hush-hush, I think that just stinks, man. I don't like it at all.
Maybe it will be revealed in due course, though. We don't know. But they're looking down this list of, because it hasn't been announced whether he has been vaccinated or not yet. There, it sort of, I understand where you're coming from on the last podcast where you're saying it's a little bit attention seeking because now everyone's talking about it. People are trying to find reasons to or ways that he can enter if he hasn't been vaccinated, this type of thing. So it's still up in the air. He might just come out and go, yeah, I've been vaccinated. No problems. I'm going. And that just might be the end of it. Or we might go down one of these routes.
The one thing what did happen, though, since our last podcast, his dad's spoken out quite heavily about this whole thing. And I don't have all the quotes to hand, but along the lines of the fact that he's more or less saying, I don't think my son's going to play the Australian Open because he doesn't think he's going to get the vaccine, shouldn't be forced to do it, and is completely against it, which is fair enough. That's his opinion on it. But based off that, it's a bit strange now that we're seeing he's playing the ATP Cups. Nothing's really adding up at the moment. I would sort of disregard his dad a little bit. Yeah. Do you know
how
what
much
I mean?
Is his dad involved?
Yeah, his dad talks a lot of nonsense. I think a lot of dads do, to be fair. And with his one, I wouldn't really take what he's saying literally. I'd prefer to hear from Djokovic and his team and people around him who are with him more often. And on that basis, we know that he's going to the ATP Cup. So that is the latest news we have, which now means it's probably wrong about his prospect of going to the Australian Open, because surely if he's going to play the ATP Cup, he's going to play the Australian Open, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's any difference, but obviously the ATP Cup is being played in Sydney, and this obviously the Australian Open is played in Melbourne. So whether there is anything, I'm sure once if he's already there, they're not going to deny him access to the Australian Open. Surely not. Like, getting into the country surely is the hardest part here.
There's a good point in the chat from Phil Bunn, saying if that's the case, then Alex was right. Remember that interview Alex did? Guess he knew something we did not know. He's talking about Zverev, referring to the fact that he was hoping they could bend the rules for Djokovic. Surely they'll allow him in. They'll do whatever they can. If this medical exemption appears, I will not be happy. I will not like that at all. I just think
you won't.
It's not fair. It's just, I don't buy it because it's all happening behind closed door. I don't think it's a good enough reason. I think it stinks of the fact that they're just doing whatever they can to get him to play.
And this is what I said.
And it's just not fair.
I thought that I was thinking along the same lines when we did the podcast saying, is he vaccinated or not? There was part of me thought,
no other
he's not
missing. Would be able to get away with that.
Yeah, but no other player generates the sort of revenue or has the sort of legacy. I'm sure if it was a Rafa or a Federer, that they're probably the only two others that could probably do it in the men's game and have that much weight. I mean, if Rafa was not going to play Roland Garros due to something, they'd probably bend over backwards to try and get him into the tournament. Obviously, it's not that. That isn't the case.
Yeah, but would you not think Rafa would have enough integrity to not want to do that?
Yeah, but we're not talking about integrity here. We're just talking about...
It's going to be up to him at the end of the day. The reason they're having to bend the rules is because he won't be vaccinated. So
yeah, but I'm saying if we went down another route when it was something else and it was like Federer at Wimbledon or if it was Rafa at Roland Garros and there was just some other reason, let's just say it's not non-vaccine related, and it would just be something else to do with a reason they were trying to get him into the tournament. They'd bend over backwards to try and help him to play it, I'm sure. Whether it be travel bans or things like that, or who knows. I reckon they still try their best to try and get these players into tournaments. But I don't know.
Hate it. Not fair at all.
But it is what it is.
Only what I'm against in sport.
Well, it is what it is at the moment.
It's
Novak Djokovic, and there's a lot of people wanting to see him defend his title as well as Australian Open champion.
I mean, you can just make the rules up.
He's not making them up. He's taken, if anything, he's taken a stance, and they're bending over to try and get him in the tournament. He's not saying...
I think we shouldn't talk about this for too much longer because it's just speculation. At the end of the day, this is not official. He's not doing this as breaking news. This is just speculation at the moment. I'm going along the lines of that he's going to plan to get vaccinated now, and that's why he's going to be in Australia. So I think that's what we have to assume until we hear otherwise for now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fingers crossed, whatever happens, he's going to play there. That's all I want to do. All I want
to
see.
I would like to clarify, of course, I'd love to see him there too. I think it will make it more exciting to have Djokovic in Australia.
We got Mike Dixon here with a tweet saying Novak Djokovic is officially on the list for next month's Willy Wayman exercise for the ATP. could be his way of quietly admitting he's had the vaccine, but he hasn't confirmed anything yet. Oh, keeping everyone in suspense as always. He should have worked in a theatre, I think, Novak Djokovic. He's got a really good element of suspense that he's able to bring to the sport. So,
or you could just call it attention seeking, but whatever way you want to dress it up, right, here's the draw for the ATP Cup.
Yes.
And we're going to have Team Serbia in the same group as Team Spain. Of course, Team Spain dropping down the seeds now without Rafa. So they're going to be in the same group. We've got Norway, Chile making up the numbers in that one. Group B, though, what a group that is.
Oh.
Especially if Dominic Thiem's there. I'm not sure if he's been announced there. I know we've got a Morgado tweet. Maybe we could look at that in a minute.
Yeah.
But this team, for me, is the number one team, let's be honest, Russia at the moment.
Yep.
We spoke about them. They won the ATP Cup last year. They've recently won the Davis Cup. They've looked just the strongest team by a long, long, long way. And I'll be shocked if they don't win this one as well. But in their group, they're going to have a really tough opposition in Italy. Serious team. Australia, they can cause some damage. They're a good team. We saw what they did a few years back. And of course, it is in Australia. So the crowd will be supporting them if there is any crowd.
Yeah.
And in Austria, pretty good team. With Dominic Thiem there. Dennis Novak.
Yeah, they're decent. I think
Group B is the toughest group.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
and team is playing. Cheers for that, Gene.
Yeah, having a look down here, I think Group C is not too bad either. To be honest,
yeah,
Germany, Canada, Great Britain, and the USA in there. Hmm. So some really top players. Obviously, Sasha Zverev. You've got obviously Chapeau, Felix. You've got Norrie will be in there as well. All players who have been pretty decent. Team USA probably the weakest one, I'd say, out of all of them.
Are they?
I don't know. Maybe.
Isn't it going to be there?
Wow.
Is the corner?
Yeah, maybe.
Fritz. I wouldn't say they're weak, Fritz. Mate. CFO.
Oh, your favourite. How do we forget?
That's a really good group. I think Group D is a bit of a weak attempt of a group, if I'm honest. I don't know who's going to get out there. They've done everything they can to try and get Tsitsipas to get out the group because at the end of the day, he's playing with three dunces who can just about pick up a racket.
Dunces? What? His brother?
His brother. Well, we'll go through the team, but I'm trying to be nice about Team Greece, but it's Stefanos Tsitsipas and the rest.
Pervialakis, I mean.
Terrible. I'm sorry. They're not good players and they're trying everything they can do to try and make Steph get out the group. He's got Poland, Argentina, Georgia. I know Georgia, they've got Basiashvili. Poland's got Hurkacz, of course. That's good. But there's not really much depth in any of the teams, really. I don't think Argentina, Schwartzman.
We can have a look at the actual teams anyway.
That's what I was hoping we can do, yeah.
Right, okay, so this is, they've listed them like this, so we can have a look at some of the teams in this order. They're not actually listed in the groups, but we can flick back and forth if need be. So as you can
see Brody there, I like that.
Yeah, he was doing well at the back end of last year, doing well in the challenges, wasn't he?
Yeah, Serbia, not a bad group, all the same names you'd expect.
Yeah.
Moving down, Russia's one, of course, super strong. Yeah, you've got Sifuli in there, though, filling in for Khachanov. Argentina, Delboni, Schwartzman, Correa. The others more doubles players.
Yeah.
Don't mind Germany. I think they've got, obviously, a really good doubles team in Puets and Krawietz. That's a good team. Of course, Dominic Thiem is going to be there. But Denis Novak, he's okay. I think they're going to struggle. In the group they're in, Austria could really struggle, especially Dominic Thiem coming back to fitness.
Yeah,
I like Germany. I think they could do well.
Yeah,
probably more than. Listen, I don't think I'm not sure if GB gets out of the group. I think it's going to be
tough. Yeah, it is really tough. I think the doubles is something that we're going to have to rely on pretty heavily. We've obviously got Jamie Murray, Joe Salisbury in there. I think we're going to have to hope for like Cam Norrie to do a number. Dan Evans can turn up on his day. But the doubles, if we can pick those up on each of the matches, I think could stand a good chance. But yeah, move on to the next one. Here we go. Is the team your favourite team?
There.
Do you want to go through these names?
What's Thanos? Isn't he a Marvel character?
Maybe. Maybe they just brought him in. Brought him in specially. Well, Chile's only got three players. What's going on?
Is Chile in the same group?
They're in there. Serbia, God. Norway, Chile, and Spain. That must have been topped up. Surely they can't have just three players.
Well, I can't name any others, so maybe it's just them three.
It's just those three.
Them two don't fill me with confidence. Of course, you've got Tsitsipas and the rest. And then Italy, let's see who's playing for there. Berrettini, Sinner, Sanego, Bellelli, Fognini. That's a good team. I like that. Italy is dark horses to maybe win the whole thing if it all clicks.
Spain's nice as well, though, to be honest. Batista is good.
It's a bit second fiddle, mate, without Rafa, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but still, you've got good players in there, though. They're all like top 50 or top 70, I'd say. You're not having to stretch out into the 200s or the 300s to get your team together.
At least they filled the page.
Should have got Fernando Gonzalez on them. Bring him back.
Got Alex and Chile's so confident.
They're going to be knackered, mate.
Poor Garen is going to be running to the ground.
By the time it gets to the Australian Open, he's not going to have any legs left. Last one, like you said,
Poland, not bad.
No, I like it.
I like Kasper Zouk as well. Mandrzak, not bad. United States, they do have Fritz Isner, Nakashima. That's one I forgot. Yep. And of course, Rajiv Ram, really good doubles player. So let's see how they go.
No, Opelka. He's not flying over there, is he? I don't believe.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, at least not for the ATP Cup, at least, I know.
Yeah, but Canada don't fill me with confidence, that team, if I'm honest.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Three challenger players, and then Felix and Chapeau are two mentally weak players. They don't always turn up.
They like the team stuff, though, I think, those two, because they're very good mates. And
are they in the same group with Australia, or am I getting mixed up?
Maybe one sec. They're in the group with us, with GB, US, and Germany.
I think GB maybe can get out then. It could be.
I think they can.
I'm probably going to go GB. I think Germany topped the group. I think Germany are going to top the group, and it's going to be battle for second. It's going to be Great Britain and USA. I think Canada come rock bottom last.
Yeah, US Fritz has looked really good lately, and who do they have in their doubles? The US?
They've got Rajiv Ram and Krajicek.
Ram's pretty decent, to be fair.
I like that. And Isner can do the doubles if he needs to. We've got Matthew asking, is Brooksby still injured? Yes, he is. He won't be there, of course. That's sad. A big loss for the team.
Yeah, really sad. It's been
fun to watch him. But that's sort of an overview of the groups. Initial look, though, you've got to be honest. Kyrgios. No, he's not going to be there. I'm going to be going big on probably Russia again. I still think they're the team to beat. As an outsider, I'm probably going to go Germany. I think Russia and Germany are the teams who I'm favouring the most. Of course, you've got the Djokovic factor in Serbia. They'll always be running close. But really, they're the two I'm going to be sort of highlighting there, looking at the groups and the teams. And here are some of the players who are missing, of course. Nadal, Khachanov, Alcaraz, Pella, Kvetva, Gojovic, Jarry, Musetti, Opelka, TFO, Korda, Kyrgios, Pospisil, and Milman.
Quite a list, that, isn't it, really? A bit sad.
You've got to ask yourself, is this vaccine related? Is this injury related? What do you think the reason this is? Obviously, Rafa, we know he's going to be playing the event after. It's nothing to do with it. Alcaraz has just had COVID. I think he's taking some time to recover from that. But the others, I'm not sure what's going on.
Kyrgios maybe just playing on his PlayStation.
He's started a new podcast, hasn't he? I know, exactly. Discussing that the other day.
Rather
not
do that.
Not listened to any yet, but I know he was rating WTA players the other day.
Yeah.
How good looking they are.
Sounds about right.
Have you heard it or not?
No, I didn't hear the actual podcast, but I saw that was the episode title, him rating all of the female. Possible. But I think he's dated enough of them, so he's probably going down there grading them. Who knows? Feel sorry if you've been one of the exes that's going to be on that list. You might be getting a low number now. Who knows? Right. Anyway, other news. Very sad news, to be honest. I think we should go on to Bianca Andreescu has pulled out of the Australian Open. It's very sad to actually read this. I was having a little read through this beforehand, and it's not really to do with any one thing, which is the more worrying thing for me. It's actually just so that she can recover mentally and physically. So I don't know what's going on at the moment. Maybe she's suffering a little bit with anxiety or something, like mentally, she's not feeling herself on the court, she said, that when she's been out there recently, and she doesn't feel ready to take on a Grand Slam. It's a bit sad, to be honest.
It's worrying. I'll tell you why, because, of course, we are planning a podcast to be reacting to our 2021 predictions, which we did, and me and you went quite heavy on Andreescu. Of course, she was one of the players who we fancy a lot. We think she's awesome. We actually had her both winning a Grand Slam last year. Because we know what she's capable of. Of course, winning the US Open and beating Serena in that final. It was historic. One of the greatest finals I've seen. I really enjoyed it. It was sort of a breaking moment in her career, we thought. And we thought after that, she's going to go on to really great things and back it up. She's had terrible injury. Yeah. And since then, not looked the same whatsoever. She was speaking. I know we'll go down just there on her tweet in a second. But she was just saying about how when she was playing tennis, she wasn't, her mind was elsewhere, and she's just been really struggling. And but the problem with this, it's sometimes better to be an injury, because you just know they're injured, they're not playing. This is something which I feel like could go on for a while. We've seen it with Osaka. We don't really know what to expect with Osaka now, let's be honest. I'm not sure. No. Are we going to see her playing much this season?
I don't know.
Is she going to pick and choose? Is she going to come to Grand Slam? What form is she going to be in these playing in these Grand Slams? Is she going to be ready to compete? Is she going to be mentally not in the right place to play tennis? Who knows? Is Andreescu going to start sort of follow the same kind of path of the way she is? It's difficult. I don't know. And I think when these players have hit the heights at a young age, it does make it difficult, I feel, with all the fame and everything what comes with that, to be able to move away from the fame and focus on the tennis. But a lot of players have done it in the past, and I'm sure, well, I'm hoping these can as well, but
I think the media
we've got Raducanu as well.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm hoping she don't follow in this same footsteps as these two.
Well, this is the fear, isn't it? And the fact that, well, she's probably got even more attention on her than any of these others who won a Grand Slam over the past like 3 or 4 years, Raducanu. She seems like the most marketable like girl on the women's tour, it would seem. She's obviously got a Chinese mother. She can speak Chinese as well. She's a very pretty girl. And now she's obviously getting sponsorships left, right, center. And she's hasn't even played 6 months on the tour. And it does worry me, considering this is becoming a slightly more regular thing that people are speaking out about mental.
It's becoming a lot more regular.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I don't like the fact there's part of me that loved it when she won it. But now all the attention, I'm just hoping that she has got her head on her shoulders and is able to handle it and has got the right team around her to sort of shield her from it a bit. I think that it is required, because you can't go anywhere. I mean, we witnessed it firsthand. We were at the ATP Champions Tour, and bear in mind there's legends there for 3 days. The fourth day, you couldn't even budge. It was like sardines, just because Emma Raducanu just turned up for one day, and literally media were all over the place. So I can't imagine what it must be like for her. A big culture shock. And it's probably been the same for someone like Andreescu, because she's very marketable as well. Seems like very down to earth, very nice, and just a big weight on her shoulders. That's all.
Yep. Agreed. And let's have a look at her statement. It's quite a long one, so I don't think I'm going to read it all out. It is a bit long, but there's some, I don't know if there's some bits you want to like talk about. There's some stuff what's happened in her life. Her grandmother spent several weeks in an ICU due to COVID infection, something that really hit her hard. So a lot of that, she was playing and training with matches, not really thinking about her tennis. I want to give myself extra time to reset, recover and grow from this, as cliche as that sounds. And then she sort of ends saying, oh, therefore start my season, or I will not start my season in Australia this year, but will take some additional time to reflect, train and be ready for the upcoming 2022 season. So it does sound pretty positive on the way she ends it, that she's going to still see her in 2022, just not at the start of the year. And she's going to pick a time what sort of suits her when she feels ready. And in a way, you've got to respect her for doing that. You'd much prefer her to do this now rather than get to Australia, play maybe a round, battle through it, maybe win it, and then pull out of the second round. We don't want to see that.
No.
I think we've seen that a bit too much recently, not just in tennis, with a lot of sports. And I'd prefer, if you're not feeding up to it already, just don't enter it. I've always said that. And I'm going to go back to Roger Federer as well. I know the Roland Garros one. I know people jump on my back for this. I don't think he should have entered that. It's a bit disrespectful to Roland Garros, using it as a warm-up event for Wimbledon.
The old classic. Yeah, but I just want to touch on what Matthew's saying here. Whether it's cricket or tennis players, a lot more allowance for players to take time out to travel and being away from home. I think this is a very interesting thing to speak about as well. Obviously, the travel that's involved with being a tennis player and stuff. Like when we spoke to Ferrer, he said, I'm not really looking to do any coaching and stuff. I just want to sit down for a year or 6 months, because I traveled for 20 years and it does probably catch up on you. And there's part of me thinking, when we had this COVID, the first like wave of it, everybody was sort of forced to go home and stay at home. And it was for pretty much like 6 months or close to a year. And some of these people who probably were used to traveling a lot, I've got used to being at home around family, probably like, and with like more loved ones and that. Is this a part of the reason that now going back out onto the tour can seem more daunting if you are one of these younger players, or if you are one of these people with a lot of the media? Because you're sort of coming straight out of not playing tennis so much and straight back into the limelight again. Everyone's expecting you to be the exact same person you were before we all went into the COVID wave thing, because it's affected a lot of people, this whole thing.
Oh, yeah,
mentally, like being stuck at home and not being able to do anything. People aren't going to be exactly the same in the same mental like mind frame, I don't think. I just think interesting to think about.
I can relate it to my own personal life and what's happening in the world right now. In the US, mass resignations. UK, mass resignations. People are leaving their jobs. It's a workers' market. People are leaving jobs in their masses. And that's just them two countries. I'm sure it's happening in other places as well.
Yeah.
A lot of the reason is because of COVID. People have been at home for so long and they're not really seeing the value in being in an office or wherever they're working, in a shop or in a restaurant. It's changed the people's minds and the way they think about things. Not always for the best, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. But people have changed the way they're thinking and people are doing things differently now. Of course, you can probably apply that to all walks of life. And in tennis, maybe they're thinking a little bit differently about and reassessing what they've been doing. And it's sad to see. But the one thing I would say, I don't want to be too soft with all of this, because as a tennis player, it comes with the territory.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's hard work, but that's why you get paid to do it. And that is why you're a professional tennis player. And there's no job. I don't know any job, so it's not tough. You always have some tough spells in your job, things you don't like having to do. And if that's like talking to the media or things or certain parts of it or traveling here and there, you've got to do that. Do you know what I mean? That's part of the job. Not everyone likes that every single part of it. And you've got to do that. And that's what makes the champions great, who can deal with the pressure better than most. And that's why I like Djokovic's quote where he says pressure's a privilege.
Yeah, it really is. And this is what makes me wonder how mentally strong are people who don't really like that part of the whole tennis tour, like going like traveling around, where it is quite lonely, I'm guessing. I know you have a team around you if you are one of the bigger players, but sometimes there's no place like home, and some of these people might obviously prefer to be with their families and people like that. I don't know, but it just shows, like you said, the sign of champions and the sign of the people who all they think about when they get out of bed in the morning is, I'm going out. I'm traveling to there. I'm traveling to the next place. This is the next place on my calendar. It's marked off. I'm going there. No matter what, I'm going to win X amount of things before I retire. It's a small window you get to play tennis. It's only for about 15, 20 years. And make the most of it. Because if you don't, you'll only be looking back after that time thinking, what if?
Not always. Some people don't enjoy tennis. We've seen that.
Yeah,
as well.
Some don't. Yeah,
they're just doing it for the living. Like, to some people, they're enjoy good their at job. It. They're literally doing it every day, waking up to make their money. They're good at that. What they do, they do it for a bit, and they can't stand it. They don't want to talk about it outside of work. And for them, it's a job. For me, it's a dream to be a tennis player. But not everyone thinks like that. Certainly, some One tennis day. Players. But yeah, sort of just wrapping up the podcast. I think we should just sort of move back to Djokovic because that is the main topic here. People just joining us late. Djokovic has announced he's going to be playing the ATP Cup in Australia. We've seen the teams. We've gone through that. So you have to wind back to the beginning of the video if you want to see that. But what does this mean now? Is he going to be playing the Australian Open? You'd think so. Would you say percentage-wise, we're on like 90% certain he's now going to play Australian Open? Is that fair?
It's not him who's announced he's playing the ATP Cup. They just put out the team sheet with his name on it. So he's
I saw something, he put his name down. I saw something.
Yeah, I know. So he's obviously involved, but it's not, there's no like real announcement.
He appeared on the ATP website list of players committed to the ATP Cup.
Exactly. This is what I mean, but there's no official announcements coming from his way. He's still keeping his cards close to his chest. I think he's just letting the press releases do it for him. He's not gonna speak out. He's just gonna let them.
It's annoying. Just speak, man. It's just frustrating.
Yeah, maybe he's just sick of being criticised all the time. Just wants a break from the media. Yeah. Who knows?
Anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah, here we are talking about him.
Exactly. We keep doing podcasts on it, so we're just as bad. So
yeah, that's it.
Anyway, let's wrap it up there. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll have to wait and see if Djokovic is going to be playing in Australia. We're pretty certain he's going to be playing at the ATP Cup now. So let's wait and see. In terms of groups, I've gone for Russia and Germany as my dark horse as a provisional look. Would you agree with that or do you have something else?
Yeah, I think Russia's just a safe bet, isn't it, to be honest? I think out of all of the other ones there, I'd say you can't rule out Serbia just because Djokovic is there. But I like what you're doing, though. I think Germany are very strong as well.
Your main pick is Russia. What's your dark horse?
Just going to say Chile. I'm going, my dark horse will be Italy. There you go.
Okay, that's a good one.
In the same group. It goes out straight away.
So your winner's coming from Group B, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's it, man. Right.
Well, let's wrap that one up. Thanks for joining us, guys. We will be going live maybe tomorrow for our reaction video to last year's prediction. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a funny one. We're going to have some beers for it. And we're going to be laughing at our top 10 predictions. Also, all of our Grand Slam predictions. And we can see what idiot picked Rafa Nadal to win Wimbledon.
We'll have to wait and see. Right,
see you guys then. Make sure to like and subscribe.